Lord's willing, Monday afternoon, I receive a call from Brother Sias. All of you know Brother Sias. He was here ministering to us some years ago, should I say. And his daughters purchased a ticket for him and his wife to go to Mexico. And they will be going to Mexico. In fact, they are there now. The Lord's willing, they will be coming up. They will be ministering for us Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. So we cancel communion for right now, for Sunday. And Saturday prayer meeting, we cancel both of them. There will be no breakfast Saturday a.m., but I know the Lord seems to me permit these things, and I'm sure I'm going to have a good time with the Lord or Brother Sias, you know. He's just a precious brother. Don't forget the visitation of Brother Adam Knight. The schedule remains the same. Saturday morning breakfast with him next week. And Saturday afternoon service, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, and Sunday afternoon at 2:30. So remember these services in mind. And I know the Lord is going to bless each one of us with his brothers. Amen. Amen. So Brother Sias will be ministering for us Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. And I'm thankful to the Lord that he gave the call and he said I will be in this area. I'll be in this area. Because sometimes people will come through and don't even call. And of course, some people you don't want them to be around anyway, but others that you want them to be around, you know, they don't call sometimes. Because I'm going through a study, and it's a very important study to me, a pastor is responsible not only to feed the flock, but also is responsible to warn the people who are close to the end. I mentioned Sunday. Like I said, I haven't registered either Democrat or Republican. Nothing at all. I'm a Christian. That's all I am. But when you see the last things in the newspapers, especially the yesterday's paper, what happened, we're talking about giving millions and billions of dollars to church groups for that they have social services. For example, one of the social services can be a camp for summer. They'll give money to send the kids to the camp or do such things and so on. Make it easy for the churches to try to provide some prison work and some other social services. We are not part of that. I'm sorry to say that. But what it is, it's the same thing that Constantine did. Give money to the people to merge church and state together. And unless we see what happens, I'm not for it. So we have to be very careful where we stand right now. There are so many things in my mind, I don't want to talk about it. But remember that we are in a time when these mergings, church and state, start taking place, and there's money to spend, just remember, you cannot cut the money off. You'll keep on giving them from now on and thereafter. There's no such a thing, cut the money, because they will be voting the opposite guy who's going to, you know, support that kind of a program. And once the state gets a hold of that power, the only thing you need is a person that's from the Roman Catholic Church or something like that to take over as president, and then you have church and state in one group, and that will be disaster. In church history, the persecution of the Christians, the martyrdom, should I call it, that happened in Europe. They flee away from there. And what happened? Why? Because of persecution of religion. When they came to this country, they make a constitution. The constitution said that you cannot merge in any way church and state. There's two court cases that happened before now, but both of them were defeated by the Supreme Court. And the Civil Liberties Union is planning to sue the case to the Supreme Court to fight the case so Bush will not push the money for the churches. You know, once you have this kind of an environment, you know We are close to the end, very close to the end. Remember what Brother Branham said in the tape? Why or another denomination or the great harlot? He said, will be a persecution like they did at pagan Rome years ago. For that, read Revelations 13, and it will tell you where we stand today. When you give money, it sounds good, but the merging is death. I'm telling you that much. The merging is death. We don't accept anything. I don't intend to accept anything. We'll close the doors if something happens and tell them goodbye. That's it. Go on with the Lord. Because we are not going to be spread around in any programs. We don't support this kind of a thing anyway. Because I'm making a study that probably to try to see some doctrines. It will take quite a bit of time, some tapes like I did years ago for some subjects. The first thing I like to speak about tonight, instead of getting to church ages, the first thing I like to speak about is the infallibility of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are infallible. And Brother Brown spoke about it in many tapes. But when you look at the people today, it seems to me faith is not on the Scriptures anymore. We take reasoning, we reason things around, and then we go to the Scriptures. By that time, we're so hybrid, our faith is so weak, we cannot even touch anything. So I pray tonight, so going first of all, starting that subject, like I said, I'm going to just push aside a little the church ages because it's very important to go on with the study. What's the infallibility of the Scriptures? The Scriptures, any way you look at them, is the Word of God, and Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We differ into that with the doctrines of Jehovah's Witness, because they say in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They believe that God, Christ was a minor God. But we believe that was Jehovah in flesh, period. That's what we believe. Now, this word that you, if you notice, when we refer to the Word of God, we are referring always to a singular tense. Not the words, the Word of God. Because of its perfection, because of the content of it, no man has the right to change or do anything to it. Now, you notice also the question that arises is now, we have a single word of God, which is the Scriptures, then what is the message? Now, the Word of God, the Scriptures, is infallible. And Brother Branham goes and he says, check it with the Scriptures. I'm just giving some outlines tonight, okay? Check it with the Scriptures. The Scriptures is the testing ground of every doctrine. Did you notice when the people start spreading into doctrines through courts, the first thing they can do, they cannot bring that doctrine to the Scriptures. And you know there's something missing. If Brother Branham is a true prophet, which I believe he is, everything he says must agree with the Scriptures. And if somebody says, no, I'm going to take the fresh manna or something like that, just remember, I don't trust that kind of a doctrine. If they cannot bring it to the Scriptures, that's what, I don't have part of it. Now, the message is the revelation of the Scriptures, but not another Bible. Remember, the message is the revelation of the Scriptures. What is it? God reveals, opens the veil, removes the veil, so we can see inside what's in the Scriptures. A good example of that is when Brother Branham preached God Had Explained. You remember that? Took Matthew 28:19, Acts 2:38. And he went to Matthew 28:19. He said, not in the names, but in the name. You see, stay with the Scripture and start revealing why the name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this kind of a revelation in the Scriptures tells us in Revelation 22:18 and 19, tells us this. Brother Branham, repeat that many, many times. Revelations 22:18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophet, see, of this book. If any man shall add into these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if a man shall take away from the words of this of the book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. It tells you if you take one word out of the book, regardless of what is the word, you cannot take nothing out. Because if you attempt to take anything out, then you make the scriptures imperfect instead of perfect. When you have something that's perfect, means that anything you try to add or take away to improve it, you know what happens? Right away tells you that the item that you had was not perfect. The only way to accept perfection in the scriptures is the way that they were written, God knows about it, and leave them alone. Believe it as it is, and don't try to mess around with it. Period. Now, in this portion of Revelation, we're studying the last day's message. Brother Branham said that he cannot add to the scriptures or take away. The people don't like to hear that. If you go to the tape, 61-64, which is the Feast of the Trumpets, 7-19-64, Brother Branham makes some statements. Now he says, someone said, well, that's seven seals then, Brother Branham, that will be revealed in the last days, some great mystery, how to get closer to God. No, sir, it cannot be. Listen. He says, whosoever shall take one word from this Bible or add one word to it, his part will be taken from the book of life. What it is a revelation of what has been missed back there. To bring, it's already wrote here. It's in here. It's to reveal what's already been written. Because you can add one thing or take the one word out of it. Now, when you have the scriptures, in our Bible study tonight, when you have the scriptures, you have to look at them like God's word. God speaks. And you cannot change God. You cannot tell God what to do. And I was thinking about the doctrines that float around. And let me give you an example. I hope that I don't offend anybody. The people, when Brother Branham died, I remember, in 65, they came around and Billy Paul came around and so on. They said he has to rise from the dead. And we hear that for a few years, and then in 65 to 76, and 77, many people from Brother Carpenter's church took a plane, rented a plane, and flew over to Jeffersonville. And I remember Brother Carpenter standing up, and he said this, that he says, if we don't see you again, because, you know, the resurrection will take place, this is 77, the Lord will raise the prophet. If we don't see you again, all of us will meet on the other side. This came to pass. But remember this. What happened, as far as the resurrection, Brother Branham was not raised from the dead. When they came back, they said nothing about that was from the devil. Because it didn't come to pass. We have to face one and one makes two. We cannot just say, well, it was a little there, a little. No. You said you're going to go and the resurrection is going to take place. From there, the people start pushing the doctrine of the coming of Brother Branham, partial resurrection, that he's going to have a tent, he'll come here, have a tent, and so on. Now, I believe one universal resurrection. The complete saints are going to raise from the dead. And I don't believe, scripturally speaking, that the saints that have been changed will come back here to preach to the lost. I don't believe in that. So everybody was pushing that doctrine, and they were not looking at the scriptures. By doing that, you destroy the scriptures. Because the first thing you do, you support partial resurrection, which is not partial resurrection, it's a universal resurrection. Two will be in bed, one will be taken, the other one will be left. One can be in India, the other one can be here. We'll be at the same time. They're not going to wait until the sun rises up in India or here to raise the rest of them, you know. So now, when this happens, they ignore completely that they are breaking the scriptures. And this proves the doctrine is not right. Because I ask people all over, I says, tell me what you do. Can the immortal preach to the mortal? We don't know, but, you know, Brother Branham said this and that. I believe everything that Brother Branham said. Now listen to what I'm saying. I believe everything that Brother Branham said. I believe I was thus saith the Lord. Then, Brother David, why they didn't come to pass? If you watch in the life of Moses, God spoke to Moses and he says, I will take the people of Israel in the promised land. He so told him that. Then, when the people become rebellious and all that stuff that happened, you know, with Israel, God makes some statements there. He takes Moses up to the mountain and he says, I want you to look at the promised land. It's right there. But you will not take the people to the other side. Moses was the one that ordained to take the people, but he didn't. And also, if you read with me, in the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter and the 30th verse, Numbers 14, 30, you read there, now God is speaking there now, he says, doubtless ye shall not come unto the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. God takes a vow that I'm going to make it to get you over there. But you know, the people of Israel mess so much that God says, I took a vow, but I'm not going to fulfill it for you because you were disobedient. We don't know the ways of God. We don't know why God permitted that. But here God promised to so many thousands of people to get them to the other side, and then God takes it back and says, no, I'm not going to do it. That's what he said. Moses, of course, who can say a lot of things, he struck the rock twice instead of once and so on. But just remember, regardless of what it is, God said to Moses, this is the place, you look at it, but you're not going to go in there. This is the bottom line of it, the whole thing. When you see that doctrine of a return ministry, they call it, friends, the people are expecting Brother Branham to come back and straighten them up, and we ignore the Holy Ghost to do the work right now. What they are doing? Telling the people, mañana, 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 tomorrow, after tomorrow, keep on going. By the time people are dying and destroyed, waiting for Brother Branham to come back to straighten them up. God sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not preached. And what is going on? Now wait for Brother Branham. Everything is going to be all right. Create a click. By the time you finish, try to bring it to the scripture. It doesn't work. That's all that it is. And we have to test every doctrine by the scriptures. When we see these things now, what Brother Branham said, he cannot add anything to the word, he says, or take away from. Why? He says, if I do that, my name will be taken out of the book of life. That's it. Now, the scripture referring to the seven last messengers, especially in Revelation 10:7, said this, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. I know friends of mine before, that they follow a man and says, he's a prophet. You ask him, how do you know that he's a prophet? Oh, he's a prophet. The only criteria that you have a genuine prophet is the scriptures. And that's why I believe Brother Branham was a genuine prophet. That's why I believe. But if you watch here what he said here, he said this, what Brother Branham is going to declare, the seven messengers, as he had declared, past tense, to his servants, the prophets, plural tense. With other words, The scripture has been said before. It was written before. And now Brother Branham will come and remove the veil for me and you for the last days to see what God has to say. It is not another Bible. It's a revelation of what we have in the scriptures. Seeing now these things, what then was to declare? What was to declare by the prophets? First of all, in order to know if Brother Branham is a genuine prophet, you have to look at the scriptures, say what the scriptures have to say about the seventh angel, the seventh messenger. The first thing you're going to find out, he cannot add to the scripture because his message will be as it was declared back there. It was said back there. Malachi 4 says that he will lead, take the children back to the Pentecostal fathers. These have been deleted by many people. They feel that the mission or the calling or the covenant with Brother Branham, between God and Brother Branham, had been deleted. Not at all. They will find quotes and spread them, regardless of how painful it's going to be, try to destroy the scriptures. Now, let me tell you something right now. When you study these kind of doctrines, you got to remember one thing while it's happening. What is happening is that one objective they have, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost or salvation by the blood. Period. The doctrine, I accept the message instead of being born again, has entered so deep now that as long as you sit in the pew and pay your tithing, you're okay. So the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, of course, any man that doesn't believe in the blood, doesn't believe in salvation, believe by accepting instead of be born again, then you won't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you have to have that before you get baptized by the Holy Ghost. These kind of things that happen now, these prophets that declare all these things in the last days, the veil will be removed to show us the message for our day, but the content, remember, the content of this message has to be the same in the scriptures. You cannot have one thing. Look what Brother Branham have done. Comes to the seven seals, he says seven, not eight. He didn't say six, but seven seals. Comes to the point of the churches, the same thing, seven. What happened? He stays with the scriptures all the time because the scriptures is the only infallible part that we can trust for eternity. The scripture says, we believe in the blood of Christ for salvation. You surrender to Him. That's exactly what it says. You see, no doctrine, no man, no prophet can get you into heaven except the blood of Christ. You have to be saved to make the rapture. Some people think they are saved, but they are not. I don't care if you have been baptized in the water or everything else. It does not mean that makes you Christian at all. It takes a real experience with the Lord by the shedding of the blood of the cross and by repentance and forgiveness of sin. Now, the scripture and the prophet agree that the last day's messenger cannot add or take away anything. Both of them agree. We read this portion. The scriptures or the Holy Bible is the infallible end of the Word of God, and nobody can destroy the infallibility. Because if you say, the Lord said this, but I think Paul meant this. I read that all the time in different commentaries, and I pray all the time the Lord to keep me. Because Paul had a problem against the women because he was a woman hater. Paul was not a woman hater. He got the revelation of Genesis 3, totally. Paul was a man of God. Paul was a prophet. Paul now, when a man has many limitations and understands the scriptures, what really means there with truth. It's very hard, some people, to conceive certain things. But let me give you 3 points here. Our limitations is because we have a human nature. We think like men, and we have to be dead to ourselves to think about how Christ thinks. And without being dead to ourselves, there's no way to go nowhere. The second part you have to remember, that truth, the truth of the scriptures must be revealed by God. It doesn't mean because I read five chapters today and I read more chapters than anybody else that you are 1 inch ahead of anybody else. You can read one verse, become life to you, and tear you to pieces and shake you up. What happened? Your life changes. And you look at it and you say, God of heaven, forgive me, help me, guide me, lead me. I pray, Lord, to protect me. One verse. And the third part, it has to be the right time or the revelation. This is when it's revealed and when it's to be fulfilled. You cannot say, give me the revelation right now, Lord. God uses prophets to reveal. Am I right? To tell us. But don't think because you know Brother Branham's message, you have the revelation. It has to be revealed into you. We're talking about life right now. You say, Brother David, wait a minute. What is truth? Let me give you something before I come to a couple of things and then we'll close. Truth is the character and the quality of God. You cannot make God a liar. You cannot say to God, you said this and let's change it. You cannot say that because He's God. It's good to know that this book is infallible because you can open it, read it, kneel down and pray and believe it. That's what He says. That's what it is. That's it. Nothing else. The people don't like to do that. The people like, for example, let me see what he said, what Einstein said, what that. Whatever it says, how scientific can become, the Word of God is not revealed by science. When you look at the Scripture, people think sometimes, well, Brother David, you know, I can read the Scriptures and I'm just as good as anybody else. It does not mean that you have the revelation. I can listen tapes, and then I know what's the message. You'll know it mentally, but you'll never have the revelation of it. The revelation is life. It tears you to pieces, shakes you up. That's what it is. It has to be the right time. Now, God, the completeness of the Word of God, with its time of fulfillment, and revelation at the appropriate time, is this how it works? Many things God probably didn't reveal it to you 10 years ago when you got saved. He showed them to you later. It's looking sad. That's what it is. Let me give you a strong verse. In the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, the 8th and the 9th verse, listen, Daniel, now, praying. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So God doesn't open and reveal everything anytime you and I want. There's a revelation probably about the second coming of the Lord. There's a time that probably God will start dealing with me and with you. Although we don't know the hour, I believe when that rapture takes place, God will start stirring each one of us up. I believe that. Something will happen in the individual. Because it's not a public show. The choirs will go on, the show will go on, but God will start dealing with these selected individuals. We are there now. You know, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. You know, disasters happen in the whole world, and the only thing we get a little clipping in the paper. Over 100,000 people, they say, they were killed in the India earthquake. What do you think about that? Before, we make big headlines, right? Now, politics are taking their place instead of facts. And God now wants us to know that God speaks and uses a prophet to speak to us, but there are certain things, don't think that we know everything. I know many times I listen to tape, I read a book sometimes in the morning that my mind is clear. And then I go back and I thought I have read this book, but it's a new book to me. I don't ever happen to you that. It's a new book to me. It's not, you know, it seems new truths coming up, the way they are revealed. And I'm thankful to the Lord because He's hitting me at the right time and probably at the right place. Say, this is it. This is what I'm telling you. So all these revelations that you see, it does not mean that's your revelations until God reveals it to you. Probably they read about the revelation. But having the revelation of Jesus Christ in you It's an experience, and it's not going to church. I'm telling you that much. It's a total relation with Jesus Christ. He talks to you. You stay there, stand still, keep your mouth shut, and learn. Because you never know everything with Jesus. You know? Always wants to teach us some more and some more and some more. So what do? We have to go back and start examining ourselves. Examination is this. Have I retained the purity of the Word of God, or I have hybrided? You know, it doesn't take too long. Some person can be totally honest and start pushing a couple of three quotes to you. By the time you finish with him, you don't know what's going on. You know that? You just panic. You say, "Oh, really? This is that?" And never look at the Scriptures. Never ask him, "Where did you find that in the Scriptures?" Friend, we have to know the Scriptures. Brother Craig, would you shut off this unit, please? Yeah, shut it off completely, please. What is it? What are we talking about? We're talking that we're in a time that unless we have the infallible Word of God to go by, we cannot continue to go on. Because you have to have somewhere to put your hymn and say, "This is it, and that's what I believe," period. Outside of that, big revelations never take you to heaven. You know what takes you to heaven? Faith and obedience to the Word. That's what takes you to heaven. God will open the tapes to you and me. If we let Him open the tapes for us. If I will ask how many understood what Brother Branham said Sunday night, I don't know how many are going to respond to that. I don't know. I do my duty. What I'm supposed to do. I'm not responsible. Somebody has to pray more and more and more to say, "We are in that time. I want to know what's happening. You know, look at the signs." Like we spoke a little bit about Revelation 13. Go home and find out that first the United States rises like a lamb. Then became a beast. A beast of power. Brother Bram revealed that. And he says, look, what it is, it's the United States and Rome will take over. So you look at this and you study that. You say, now, where I'm going? What's happening? Is this the end? Keep on watching. You know, I tell you what I'm doing. I hear about these things. When the first bill is going to pass through, I'm going to go to the fourth floor of the university library and get a copy of that bill to see what they're passing through and try to compare it with the Scriptures to see what's going on. Because it's affecting me. You know that? We're at the end. You know, it's affecting me and I want to know. What is going on? It's not curiosity, my friend. It's not. It's reality. I have to know what's happening. And by looking at the revelation of the Scriptures, the way it has been opened to us through a prophet, you look at this revelation and you say, "Lord, what's happening next?" The first thing you say, "We're at the end. It's closer than I thought. Persecution is closer than I thought. Here we go. We left the Cold War state. And we're moving to another time. Putin is rebuilding the Russian missile program. This is a sign. Russia will destroy Rome. We know that. Brother Branham spoke about that. Are we aware of what's happening? So the United States now start building the missile power. And then what happened? Russians go on with that. Russia says, "You cannot do that. I'm doing it, but you cannot do it." So when I see these things, I know I'm reading the Scriptures, earthquakes in diverse places. I mean, it happened in four or five places at the same day, I think it was, the earthquakes. And nobody paid attention. That was forgetting about yesterday. Can probably shake us up to say, is this what the Scripture speaks about the end? That's what's going to be going on? You know, it's very hard, my friend, to get away from the Scriptures. If you listen to the tapes and you follow the Scriptures, you have no problem. Sunday nights, when you come to a tape, always Brother Branham reads the Scriptures in the front. Always. Undoubtedly, if the 1,100 tapes, one of them or two speaks about the Scriptures only. He reads the Scriptures. Why don't you go home and read it over and over again? Let it dwell in you. To say, "Lord, here I am." Examine yourself. Do I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost or not? Let me give you some evidence. We'll convict you, reprove you. All these things are the blessings of the Holy Spirit. You know? Today the people have nothing in them. I was talking to a brother in Maryland that the family fall to pieces. The children,
grandchildren and everything.
They say to me, Brother David, there's nothing in them to draw to the Lord. The only thing I can see, my family goes straight down to hell. That's what I can see. I'm praying. I cannot stop from praying, he said. But you know, you cannot deny the circumstances are there. Who cannot deny that? So God now permits us in the last days to have a prophet. To do what? He's fulfilling Daniel. What did he say? He said, and I heard, but I understood not. Listen, a question in the mind of Daniel. I don't understand this. What's going on with this? And I want to ask God why. Yet then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? When is going to happen? I don't understand it. Please tell me what's going on. And God gives two things that he has done there. And he continues and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So the thing is not only closed up, but they are sealed also. Nobody can break the seal. And when God closes something, it's closed. That's it. Until the end. And at the end, God reveals it. And what's revelation? God opens, removes the veil, sends a prophet, he says, this is this, and this is that, and this is that. That's what happens. So let's, now outlining these things, first of all, acknowledge that the scriptures are infallible. There's nothing to be added, nothing to be taken away. In one of the tapes, I think I have the tape number here, I was reading it, Brother Bram has been speaking about Christ revealing his own word. He speaks starting from paragraph 57, goes down to 58, and he refers how scientists have changed their minds all the way through, you know. He says, I think that Abraham Lincoln at the time, they had to make him bleed because of some pneumonia or something. I don't remember what it was. That says they move his toenail so he can bleed from the toenail, you know. Today, it will be disaster. They will sue you for everything. He says, all the medicine have changed. Medicine is not the same that was yesterday. Drugs are not the same. But he says the word of God remains always the same. Nothing has changed because it's infallible. It's a beautiful thing to look at like that. So we accept the infallibility of the scriptures. Brother David, what Bible is infallible? I tell you what, I'm reading King James. I read quite a few translations. Look at them. I wasn't happy. As long as it drives you closer to Christ, that's what you want. I'm not going to take another Bible because I know what's going on and I stay away from it. And I believe I'm happy with the King James Version. Now, in the next few minutes, probably 4 or 5 minutes, I'd like to say this. People have divisions in their churches because they are dealing with quotes against quotes. You cannot create a doctrine out of a quote. Unless you bring it to the scriptures, you just don't know what you're talking about. I dealt with something some time ago, and I asked him, what do you believe? He said, I got a quote. I said, have you ever taken it to the scriptures? No. Do you believe it's in the scriptures? He said, I don't know. Then you're telling me, the only thing you're telling me, it's possible to be a lie. Because if it's not in the scripture, you generate something that's not in the word of God. You know, they don't want to talk about it. So I asked the other party, do you believe in the scriptures? He said, oh, yes, yes. Where did you find this quote in the scriptures? He looks at you, I don't know. I don't know if it's there. You see, total ignorance, confessed, instead of staying with the scriptures, to say the scripture tells me not to take anything unless I test it with it. Look sometimes how many times Brother Bram repeated over and over and over again. Test the message by the scriptures. People feel sometimes that Brother Bram said, because don't make me an unbeliever, I believe in the scriptures. No, friends. You test it with the scripture to make sure your interpretation is right. Unless our interpretations agree with the scriptures, we are in trouble. We have to watch these things. You know? And I have many friends that they call many times. They say, Brother David, this and this and that. I was in a church when I was back in the South. The man said to me, Brother David, stay here for a week, please. I said, no, I got to go home. I'm not just floating around. So we got coffee afterwards. And a hamburger. I went to McDonald's to eat after Sunday service, Sunday night service. Went to eat. And we start talking about the scriptures. He said, I don't know what happened to the people. I'm not like that. Yes, a good-sized church, big church. I don't know what happened to the people. You see, if I don't pray, I don't get anything from the Lord. I have to pray and seek the Lord to have a service. I said, what are you talking about? He said, they run through the computer, a subject, scratch their heads, and if they like something, they'll take it. Whether they don't like, they don't take it. And make a Bible out of it and come and give it to the people. So I'm tired of that. And some of them come over. He says, Brother such and such, can I come over and preach to your church? Sometimes I let them preach. And they bring about 15 books. And it's because they think they're more in the message, the more books they bring. Friends, the key of the whole thing is, regardless of how many quotes you got, bring it to this book. To make sure that these things are right. Because we are playing with eternity, we put our souls down, and we cannot put our souls down to anything that's not real. That's what I'm saying. It has to be there in this Word. And everything in this Word, the Lord's willing, next Wednesday, I'll continue part of the Word of God. I'll go to Paul, his revelation, and how Paul, after he saw the whole thing, is any person that preaches another gospel, he said, let him be accursed. You know, I'm wondering if Paul appeared today, what he is going to say, you know. So, remember these things, pray and study, ask the Lord to lead you, because you are in a time that sooner or later, friends, probably you won't be together, you know. We don't know for how long. And I have rather do that and study some of the doctrines. That's why I bring first the infallibility of the scriptures there. That I bring scripture, why this is not like that, why it's like that, and so on. So to know exactly what we believe, you know. And I guarantee you one thing, I'll stay with the scriptures. If I don't see something, I don't have the revelation, I'm not going to be afraid or embarrassed to say I don't know. Pray for me so the Lord will reveal it to me. But I'm not going to create a doctrine either. Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus. Make me more like thee. Then I'd like to ask Brother Gordon to close us in a word of prayer. Amen. Make me more like thee. Jesus, make me more like thee. Give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like thee once more. Make me more like thee, Jesus, please, that's what I want. Just make me more like thee. Give me a heart that's filled with love. Make me more like thee. Yes, Lord.
Grace and mercy and love upon us, Lord.
Yes. Glory to God.
We just plead the blood of Jesus Christ, O Lord, cleaving to your word with all that lies within us, O Lord.
Yes, Lord. Please, Lord.
We thank you for your scripture and the revelation of this day, O God. We just pray, Lord, to continue, O God, to reveal them to us, Lord. Lead us by your spirit.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, your brother and sister gathered here this
evening. Yes, my Lord.
Pray, Lord, you just quicken, Lord, us by your spirit, Lord. Lord, we will bring forth
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Our walk, our daily
yes, my Lord.
Lord, we just pray you be with us this evening. Be with us all. go our separate ways, O God, but we pray, Lord, that you still keep us and bless us, Lord, direct our paths, O God.
Yes, my Lord.
We thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise in your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. May dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.